Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. There's a bill circulating at the state capitol that would allow Californians to change the way they spell their names on official documents like marriage, birth, and death certificates. We commonly refer to them as accents, but they are known as diacritical marks, which are marks placed above, below, or sometimes even next to a letter to indicate a particular pronunciation. For example, you may see an accent on the name Gonzalez, like mine, to emphasize a certain syllable of the name. In the case of Assembly Bill 77, a Sacramento area family says their son, Nicolas, who has an accent on the A, was the inspiration behind bringing the bill to Assemblymember Blanca Pacheco. His parents say that with an ethnic name, it should be able to write and also document that name in the way that it's supposed to be pronounced. But the state has had some issues with adapting to this change, so the family is hoping to make it a law. Joining us to talk about AB 77 are Nancy Chaires Espinoza and Pablo Espinoza, the parents of Nicolas. Good morning. Thanks for seeing. Nice to see you. Thanks for joining us.
The parents of Nicolas.
Nicolas. Thank you. That is the subject of this entire.
As he would say, he said in front of the legislature when he testified with his mother, Nancy. I think you may know one of the youngest people testifying on the state assembly. At 6 years old, he said, you know, I want my name is Nicolas with a tilde. I want to write my name right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Nicolas. And this starts when Nicolas was just a few months old, right? This isn't the first time that both of you have attempted this at the state capitol. Why is this issue so important to you?
You know, it's very important for our son to be able to carry his full identity into life, into society, right? And our names are such a big part of our identity. They're the first thing people learn about us often. So the idea that, you know, he's going to have to correct the pronunciation because people don't see the tilde routinely. And the fact that without the tilde, it's also stripped of its cultural heritage, it's really important to us. And, we just think that our son and other kids, other people should be able to really represent their names accurately.
Right. I mean, because it would be Nicholas as opposed to Nicolas, right? And the accent is very important.
Well, Nicholas, if it's spelled C-K, right? But even more so, if it's spelled correctly, but without the diacritical mark, it will be Nicolas. Mm. And the thing about what Nancy talks about, identity and heritage, you know, at his early age of six, but even before that, he says, you know, tengo sangre de tres sitios. I have blood of three different places. You know, his grandparents are from Jalisco, Mexico. I was born in Ecuador, and he was born here. And he's proud of every single one of those three. And I think to also be proud of the United States, where, you know, you grow up looking at this country as a place, as a beacon of change. We shouldn't be afraid of this change, which is not really massive. Eight other states are already doing it. So it is incredibly important, as Nancy says.
I love that at just 6 years old, your son is already thinking about such big, really kind of deep, meaningful things of his identity and where he came from and the generations before him.
You know, for all kids, I think there's an age-appropriate way to teach them about how to be respectful of other people's cultures. So those are kind of the lessons that he's living out and that he's practicing right now. It's about setting the table so that we treat all cultures with equal respect. You know, I don't want that my friends who are O'Connells and O'Donnells lose their ability to accurately write their names on their vital records. I just want the rest of us to be able to share in that.
Yeah. And this isn't just about Nicolas. It's about there's a wider community. What are you hearing from other families and other just individuals who would like these diacritical marks on their official documents?
Well, you know, it was actually Nancy that brought it up to me that, hey, did you know that is, you know, Vietnamese and Hmong, they use something very similar as accents. And you were telling me, Nancy, it's on their most popular boys and girls names. And much like in Spanish, without it, not only does it change the pronunciation, but it can also change the meaning. I was talking to a Greek friend of mine who was telling me the name of his daughter. It would also have it on Greek. And I go, if you had the opportunity, would you like to use the accent? He says, of course. I never knew about that. We have never talked about that. Mm-hmm. And I guess much like Nancy and I, you don't know until you know. We didn't know it was illegal when they told us, no, sorry, you can't put the accent on Nicolas. We thought it was a joke. And then it turns out when they told us it was illegal, we were shocked.
Yeah.
And this is the second time you're trying to move this through the state capitol. The first time was in 2017. Nicolás was just a few months old. What happened the first time?
You know, unfortunately, I don't think there really was the robust discussion that the bill merited, right? The opposition came out and, you know, my understanding is the administration just felt, you know, kind of there was a nebulous cost out there that they may or may not have put a number in when it was in the Appropriations Committee. But there really wasn't a discussion about what would it take to get this done. Whereas this time, you know, we felt that the state has evolved since then. It's not a lot of years, but the conversation has continued to evolve about how to actually respect diversity and that is a shared value among leaders and lawmakers in California. So I am seeing a different conversation around this bill this time. It does seem, you know, even folks who raise concerns are at least joining the conversation about, OK, well, let's explore what it would actually require to get this done.
Very much so, because even that same organization that was opposed many years ago now, for the analysis on the very first legislative committee, the Assembly Health Committee, it says that they're opposed unless amended, which basically means that they're not opposed, but they have some suggestions as to how to implement it. And that is exactly a whole different conversation, like Nancy's saying.
Hmm. Given that this is already taking place in more than a half dozen states already in the country, what kind of lift is expected of California in terms of the technology to actually add these diacritical marks?
You know, I can't really speak with that with a great deal of authority. I understand really from the analysis of the bill done in the Health Committee that the technology differs a little bit at the county level, and that's one of the areas that's really being explored right now in terms of implementation. But I am a very, very proud Californian, right? And I love it when California leads. I think we're kind of spoiled in that way. We're used to this can-do attitude in California. And I just really and truly believe that in California, the technological leader that we are, that if, you know, seven other states have already been able to achieve this, frankly, I would be embarrassed that we could not.
Very much so. And if Utah can do it, that's the very last state. Heck, if Texas can do it, I'm sure Governor Gavin Newsom will love to find a way to have California do what Texas is already doing and what Florida is very much against. And technologically, there's absolutely ways of doing it. The chair of the Assembly Health Committee, Assemblymember Jim Wood, clarified to another member that California doesn't transmit the actual documents to the federal state. They transmit data. So when you're transmitting data, and again, I'm not a data expert, but at its most basic level, a mark is just one element of the data that can be very easily stricken out. And at the most basic level, the chair of the committee said, if there's such a complication, I have a box of Sharpies that I can provide to anybody that says that this is impossible.
And you have some other partnerships as well. One of the partnerships is the Spanish-speaking announcer for the Los Angeles Dodgers, also a Major League Hall of Famer himself, Jaime Jarrín. And he talked about how back in 2017 that actually baseball adopted this new set of rules to get the names and the pronunciation of the names of players correct, to get it right. So we're going to listen to part of what he had to say, and then we'll chat about his comments after.
It was 2017 when the Major League Players Association sponsored a campaign called Ponle Acento on the Major League's baseball, every club was asked to include in the daily game notes a page with translation and proper spelling, including the ñ of the Latino, European, and Asian players. Today, all Major League Baseball teams have interpreters, and the players' jerseys have their names using diacritical marks and accents. Adding punctuation marks to the written word in Spanish expands the beautiful and melodic language. The same result as a musical composer giving the opportunity to add sharps and flats to musical notes. But beyond punctuation, it is the ultimate sign of respect. Respect to the name, respect to the person, respect to the culture.
Yeah. In addition to that respect, I love how he compares this to adding a sharp or a flat to a piece of music to change the complexion of sound.
Absolutely. Mr. Jarin is a tough act to follow, especially in his own voice, but he really encapsulated
that. The moment that when he starts talking, I sit back and it's almost like he's going to be telling me a nighttime story. It's just so soothing.
Makes sense what he did for a career, does for her career, right?
And he's from my city, actually, from Quito, Ecuador. So, I mean, look, if Major League Baseball can be that progressive, you know, why not California? Hashtag ponle acento, put the accent on it, is what it was. And, you know, Vicky, one of the players that actually was the most forceful in pushing that was Adrian Gonzalez. He was a Dodger, iconic Dodger at the time in 2017.
Hmm. Yeah, and you know, following the MLB's lead, many other leagues, other professional sports have done the same thing. And this is, again, you know, I reflect on kind of that oddness about California generally being a leader and generally being progressive. But here is a case where we're actually behind the private sector.
Yeah. And the California and the Hollywood Walk of Fame, Mexican soap opera actress Angelica Maria, she asked for her star to be redone so it could include her accents. There's the latest Avatar movie actress Zoe Saldana. She has two. She has the ñ of her parents' name, Dominican, and the umlaut over the E from her marriage name, I believe. But anyhow, she also has written that she's reclaiming her name, because before, when she started, people were like, oh, it's too complicated, Saldana. People are not going to know how to pronounce it. So it goes to show, it doesn't matter how much money you have, you can't do it until we pass this bill.
Yeah, and also, I mean, by reclaiming that, it's also, I think, speaks to being disconnected from your culture and your history when you don't have diacritical marks or the correct pronunciation of your name, especially in a public setting like that.
Yeah, and you know, people don't make those decisions in isolation, right? It begins in school when, you know, maybe your teacher just decides, well, I'm going to call you something else because that's easier for me. Or, you know, maybe your parents had experiences like that. So we start to get these messages over time from different places that we have to leave parts of ourselves aside, you know, to engage in society. And that's really the message that the government sends when they say, well, we don't really care about what your what your name is accurately.
And it's great, though, that the new director of the California Department of Public Health shares in those feelings of pride, at least the way he displays that on the official website of the California Department of Public Health, under which, ironically, the vital records unit lies. His name is Dr. Tomás Aragón, with the accent on the A and the accent on the O. And, you know, he proudly displays that on the California Department of Public Health's website.
Hmm. Given that cost has been an issue in terms of the pushback for this bill in the past, how do you foresee the state implementing this if passed? I know that it's not necessarily your wheelhouse, but when addressing this now a second time through the state capitol, how do you hope the state takes in the incursion of cost and overcomes that?
I just hope there's a comprehensive and honest conversation about it. You know, I think, you know, we're all realistic about it. We know neither the folks on the state side or the county, you know, who would have to implement this have a money tree. We should all just get a great estimate as best as possible about what it would take and develop a plan to find the resources and the timeline to implement them. That, I think, is a fair conversation to have. What is not a fair conversation to have is just to say it would be too expensive, or it's not worth doing.
And also, the idea also is that it can also serve not only as a way of reflecting culture or values and all that stuff, but it can be a source of revenue for local governments. Mm-hmm. For parents like Nancy and I show, you know, this bill pass, and we decide that we want to have Nicolás with an accent on the A on his birth certificate, we can go and ask for a correction and pay a fee. And there are, you know, millions of Latinos in California, many more folks, Greek, French, German,
Vietnamese, Hebrew.
The list goes on and on.
That, you know, so if Nancy, like Nancy says, if there's a real discussion, we ought to also be looking at that it is part of the bill.
Are there any concerns about the inconsistencies at a state and a federal level, you know, in taking in a birth certificate, a death certificate, a marriage license compared to, you know, a passport or a social security card?
You know, I've heard that issue raised in this discussion, but again, six or seven other states are already doing this. So clearly a solution has already been identified to work around that issue.
Yeah, those states send the data, as the chair of the Assembly Committee on Public Health was saying, to the federal government without the diacritical marks. They're just separated. But hopefully, you know, knock on wood, California passes it and is a leader in the country, although we're behind a little bit. And other states and the federal government can look west and see that it can be done. And we can reach out to Senator Alex Padilla, who he says he grew up listening to Jaime Jarrín. And maybe we can have Don Jaime Jarrín have a conversation with him. And Congressman Jimmy Gomez, who somebody told me a story that when he was in elementary, he was told, you know, you have two choices. You can either be James or Jimmy, but you cannot be Jaime Gomez. Mm. What a horrible choice to give to a child.
It's terrible.
So let's just say that maybe Nico's bill can possibly hopefully make it, you know, out of the California legislature and the governor's desk and then onto D.C.
Yeah. I mean, my dad, as a kid, alternated between George and Jorge, right? So, I mean, that's just, I think that's so common across the state and even across the country. Finally, you two are parents. How has it been going through the legislative process? And what have you learned the first time that you're applying the second time?
Well, it is really different because the first time we tried this, our son was a baby, so he was present but couldn't really participate, whereas now we're able to have conversations with him about just really tying together the values we try to teach and live generally, which is, you know, if you see something wrong in the world, you should take part in trying to be part of the solution, right? If you see an injustice, you should try to fix it, not just for yourself, but for other people. And I'm really proud that he gets to really put that lesson into practice at such a young age.
And that is exactly what I always liked about Nancy, her love for public service. And I get emotional because my late mother used to tell me, you know, if you don't like something, don't sit on the sidelines complaining about it. You know, get up and do something about it. And you can do public service from wherever you are. I was a journalist in my current job. So public service is also, you know, using is not a horrible word, but having Nicolás be a symbol for other folks in the community and all of us understanding that we're doing it, of course, for Nicolás and for all of the Sofias and the Gonzalez and the Adrians of the world.
Nancy and Pablo, thank you so much.
Thank you, Vicky.
Thank you so much.
What a fun and wonderful conversation. And that is Nancy Chaires Espinoza and Pablo Espinoza. They are talking to us about AB 77, which, if passed, would add diacritical marks on official documents like birth, death, certificates, as well as marriage licenses. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.